Hi, and welcome to Adventure Dog Podcast, the podcast all about doing amazing things with your doggos. I'm Nathan Berry, she's Rue the Shark, and this is episode 18. Today, I'm hopping to try out something new. Rue is bugging me for a snack, and we have an excellent conversation about one of our favorite doggy treats. Now, before I go any further, of course, I'm not sponsored, and this episode is in no way an advertisement. But I'm always happy to talk about stuff that I use and recommend things that I really like, such as Ruff Bar. I don't even get freebies. I buy all the stuff I use and talk about. In a sense, this is just a continuation of my research into raw diet and the things I feed Rue. Imagine if you could have a personal conversation with all of the people that make your food and your dog's food. I don't know if I could ever just call up the owner of a big name dog food company and talk about the hands-on experience of actually making that product. But if you could, it provides a greater understanding of what some small businesses in the dog food industry go through and a deeper appreciation for what goes into our pups' diets. I originally found Ruff Bar when I was looking for a convenient way to carry a high-energy snack for Rue when we trail run. There used to be a company that made a protein gel, kind of like an energy gel for runners, but it was for dogs, and it came in this little squirt pouch. It was really cool, it was a little bit geeky, and they stopped making it due to the packaging costs. So I ended up buying some Ruff Bars, and immediately, Rue loved them. And recently, I got to talk to Sue, the co-owner of Kairos for Dogs and Ruff Bar. And specifically, I wanted to know more about a couple of the new things that they are working on with crickets, or cricket protein, which often comes in the form of a flour. And I learned a whole lot, not only about the Eco Bar, but also about the new freeze-dried raw Ruff food. I truly believe that insect protein is a great source of sustainable nutrition for both humans and for our dogs. And I did just a bit of fact-checking after our conversation. So the information on FDA that comes up in the conversation isn't 100% correct, but I'll talk more about that later. So, without further introduction, here is Sue from the Seattle area with an in-depth look at Kairos for Dogs and Ruff Bar.
Cricket products out there for dogs, they all have pea protein or potatoes, yes, or, you know, other kinds of legumes, and they're fillers because they're like making them into cookies.
Yep, that's all about the DCM, the dilated cardiomyopathy issues with these fillers.
Yeah, and, you know, we care about the quality of the ingredients, so, you know, we buy organic vegetables and fruits and things like that that go in. We buy grass-fed and antibiotic and hormone-free beef. We buy Alaskan wild-caught salmon, and it's all human grade. It's not pet food grade that we're getting somewhere. You know, it's not leftovers. And, you know, it's also kind of funny that there have been times people have seen me just rip open a Ruff Bar and eat it. Well,
I took a bite of one. They're good.
Yeah. You know, actually, there's some that are like our newer version is a little bit higher organ meat content.
Okay.
So I still like the salmon the best myself personally, because there's no organ meat in it.
Yeah.
But the reason we did that was because to get the moisture, not the moisture, but the water activity level down to where it needs to be, it makes it hard and it's more like jerky than it is. You know, I worry about dogs choking on them, so I want to make sure it's easy to chew, you know, easy to digest. And so we added more organ meat because then it would, I don't want to say crumble more, but, you know, say break easier.
Sure.
And then our newest recipe, we also added flaxseed and pumpkin.
Okay.
And the reason pumpkin is for digestion, because, you know, some people's dogs, that they just have digestive issues. And then the flaxseed too, because then it dogs need energy, and they can get energy from, I mean, out, you know, running dogs, like you're a running dog,
yeah,
gets energy from either fats or sugars. So we use dates, and we lowered our date content, but we added flaxseed because it is a fat where if you use animal fat, you have to use preservatives,
yes,
or more salts and things for preservatives. So, you know, we're always constantly thinking about how we can improve the texture of the product, but also to make sure that it's easily digested and assimilated when they're out trail running, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you want to go ahead, because everything that we're talking about right now, I would love to really get into a little bit.
Well, you just ask the questions. I can answer it.
Yeah. Well, perfect. Well, if you just want to introduce yourself and, of course, your dogs.
Okay. Well, my name is Susan Moore, and our family has three dogs. We have Oakley, who is Oak Tree Oakley on Instagram. She's a Tri Australian Shepherd from Harvest Moon Aussies, and she's just a great, awesome dog.
Okay.
She lives with my daughter at college and goes to class with my daughter, so that's pretty cool. And then we have Theo, who is a rescue. We think he's a Pumi, but he could be a poodle mix. Who knows? We don't know. And he's about 25 pounds. And then there's Monty, who's a silky. And he's, I don't know, less than 10 pounds. And
okay,
he's maybe about 4 or 5 years old. And Theo's somewhere about 7 or 8 years old.
Okay. Of course, you're on Instagram as,
yes,
at Kairos for Dogs and at Kairos for,
at, well, yeah, actually, I mean, I wouldn't have one without the other.
Sure.
I start, you know, Rough Bar is a energy hiking bar for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distinctly different than Kairos for Dogs. Kairos for Dogs is health products, but along the lines of herbs that help the body take care of itself.
Yeah.
So we have a, you know, daily and different things like that for different kinds of needs, senior dogs, whatever. And we had, when we first got Rough Bar, that just takes us into history of Rough Bar, right?
Sure. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We actually had Kairos for Dogs, and it just felt awkward having Rough Bar and Kairos for Dogs merged together, because
okay,
it was like, a lot of people who feed kibble don't really understand the whole process of feeding herbs either.
Yeah.
Whereas people who we call raw foodies, you know, people who feed raw to their dogs, they're getting it about supplements or, you know, additives like herbs and things like that to help even more with their dogs.
Yeah.
So we're fortunate to have both.
Well, you kind of started into the history of it, so we might as well kind of get into that. Your family has always had dogs, but really this whole thing started because of horses.
That's correct. My daughter had a horse who had a lot of special needs.
Okay.
And we bought herbs from a local feed store, and the feed store ran out of these herbs, and we asked about it, and the guy who had the company called Shemisha Ridge was retiring, and his family didn't want to take over his business, so he was selling, and he sold it to my friends, and they started their own company with a different name, and then we bought from them for a couple of years, and then they decided that they didn't want to do it anymore. Hey, buddy.
That's Rue right there.
And so I sold my tractor so I could buy that company from them. And okay. then that was all about the horses, just because I didn't want this one horse to not have that. And I thought, you know what? Because I was involved in a nonprofit also, I thought, well, what it would be really cool if we could, like Tom's Shoes, you know, sell a bag of herbs and gift a bag of herbs to a nonprofit.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thought behind that. And then we had a dog we had a pair of miniature schnauzers, and one of them had white fur and sensitive skin, and he was allergic to everything.
Okay.
And he was a miserable little dog. He was always licking himself, and we fed raw. We fed raw from a local company, and that helped, but it didn't take it away. And I had gone to 3 local vets, and all of them prescribed pharmaceutical products.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was at the end of my rope. He was 12 years old, and I thought, he's had a good full life. I'm going to say goodbye. And I happened to have a friend. She's now retired, veterinarian, holistic veterinarian, who was staying at my house for a couple of days. She said, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with your dog? And so I told her. And she said, Susan, you would never give those drugs to your horses. Why are you giving them to this little dog?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what else to do. And that's when you, like, you know, you feel like you're going to break down in tears, and, you know, because you want your dog to be healthy and you don't know what else to do.
Sure.
And there's just not enough information out there. And I think veterinarians, because they don't study that kind of medicine, they're not comfortable talking about it. So anyway, so I worked with my friend who, she's now retired, Suzanne Seeley. She's in Washington, and okay. she went through my list of herbs for horses and then helped me identify which ones would work great for dogs. So we now had this line of dog herbs, and we had a couple other small products too. And we bought some freeze dryers, and we were looking for ways to incorporate powdered herbs into dogs' meals. So I would grind up liver, antibiotic and hormone-free liver, and combine it with the herbs and pumpkin and bone broth, and I would freeze dry them into these little treats.
Okay.
That was too labor intensive. But anyway, so those two dogs actually lived very healthy lives for another 2.5-3 years before they both passed away, summer of 2017.
Okay. So how long was that process? When did that process start?
Well, I started working with Suzanne about 2014-2015 timeframe.
Okay. Wow.
On the dog herbs, yeah. But, you know, there's just so many people who feed a dry kibble that the powdered herbs just doesn't work very well for.
Yeah. And is that just an absorption issue?
Yeah, it's like dry kibble is already dry enough. You know, what do you do with the powdered herbs?
Sure.
So we've simplified the process. You don't see it yet on the website, but we've now freeze dried. It's almost we're trying to get these bottles, like shakers, like the Kraft cheese, Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feed Rue a pretty high quality kibble. And I've looked at getting into raw. Of course, it's a lengthy process, and I'm still kind of doing my research. But I've always been curious if there is a way to include, you know, and I currently don't have any issues, but is there a way to successfully implement supplements even with a kibble diet?
Well, there is. One thing I think is important to know about kibble is that it's dry food.
Yeah.
And if a dog in the wild or a coyote or whatever is going to chase down prey, that prey weight is made up of 80% water.
Yep.
So a bunny rabbit, whatever. And so they're getting their moisture that way besides,
okay.
you know, drinking. So it giving them a kibble, got to make sure that they're getting hydrated. And some dogs just aren't interested in drinking water. So that's why it's nice to add water to their kibble. And, you know, I wish I knew it. I could send you the link. But there are holistic veterinarians in the U.S. in a directory. By adding, like, herbs, any of the herb mixes we have, just in bone broth, and you could freeze them into cubes and just put that in there.
Yeah.
Or like goat's milk is great. You know, just different things like that. In fact, our Instagram, Kairos for Dogs, we have some awesome ambassadors in both Instagram accounts, but they're doing like a recipe of the week, you know, like freezing watermelon juice, you know, or things like that for dogs and putting the herbs in there. That's a great, fun way to do it. But we also have these new, what's called Kairos toppers, which is freeze dried. It's freeze dried okay. liver, bone broth, pumpkin, and our herb mix. And you can just shake it on top of their food.
Okay. I get it. And that was the blend that you were mentioning
right.
previously. And that's kind of got everything already in it.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
My last interview at Black Dogs Adventuring, she posted a really great photo of one of her raw diets, and she makes her own using a silicone, almost like a tray, little bone shapes, and she actually freezes treats for her dogs, like a coconut oil, and I think she has also like a pumpkin. So those were kind of cool. So yeah, talking about freezing them into little cubes and doing stuff like that.
There's one that's a paw print that's, you know, shaped
yes.
like paw prints. That's cute.
And I see those a lot. That seems to be a pretty common one. And I don't know if those are actually a particular brand.
eBay or Amazon.
Okay.
Just silicone mold.
Gotcha. How long have y'all been doing the toppers specifically?
Well, actually, the toppers aren't even on the website yet. So,
okay. So that's a new thing.
It is a new thing. I was making the freeze-dried treats, but they have the consistency of kind of like Cheetos. So it was kind of a packaging challenge, and it took too long to make. Then it doesn't make it very affordable for people. So I thought by making it into something that people could just shake on top of the dog food, it would be a lot more, well, less labor intensive, so a lot more affordable.
I gotcha. Yeah, I kind of looked through a lot of the supplements on there, and obviously I haven't had a chance to really dive deep into it, but it covers kind of pretty much everything from digestion.
For the tummies, the digestion one.
Yeah.
If your dog ever has like tendencies for loose stools around new food or something like that, and you're traveling, the tummies combined with some pumpkin solves most all digestive problems.
Okay. And everything here, these herb mixes, these are all kind of pretty similar to a topper where it's going to be a powdered mix or an herb mix. Okay. So pretty easy to just add right in.
Right.
Okay. Well, kind of going forward, because one of the things that really interests me and I kind of wanted to get more into and talk a little bit in depth is, of course, not just Rough Bar, but also Eco Bar. Well, I guess, is Eco Bar going to be under Rough Bar, or is that going to be under Kairos?
Well, we're actually trying to rethink that. We ran a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And we have never done a Kickstarter before. So we were not successful in the way of being funded. I consider it to be successful in our learning experience from it. So the reason we made it the Kairos Eco Bar under Kairos instead of under Rough Bar is because we're not promoting it as the energy hiking dog bar.
Okay.
We would like it to be focused towards the healthy urban pet and or the outdoor adventuring dog.
Okay.
Whereas the Rough Bar is distinctly all about the outdoor adventuring dog.
Yeah. But definitely, if it makes any bit of difference, I think that's one of the things about it that really piqued my interest is having something that, because we're so active and we're out and about, that it is kind of like a full meal replacement that we can take with us pretty much anywhere?
It was designed with the AFCO standards in mind.
Okay.
I have to also keep in mind that AFCO does not recognize cricket protein as a viable source of protein for dogs.
And what is the AFCO standard?
You know, I always have to look it up to remember what AFCO stands for. The Association of American Feed Controls Official.
Okay.
It's a voluntary membership associated with local and state and federal agencies, basically to make sure that dog food, dog treats are all met within a certain parameter.
So kind of the dog and cat food version of the FDA.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly. Yes.
And because I know that cricket protein, and this is why I've been so excited about it, as an athlete and a runner, I actually use protein on a pretty regular basis, and it's becoming more and more common to see cricket protein. This is what really excited me about seeing this come up. And it still falls under some FDA rules, does it not?
It does. It does. I mean, you know, a lot of people have this thing about, oh, it's bugs.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It tastes nutty. It comes
yeah.
in a powder to us. So it's not like we're grinding up bugs and putting it in our food. We're actually buying cricket powder.
Yep.
And it is human grade.
That is kind of the interesting thing to point out, is that with human grade crickets, I mean, they're farm raised, essentially the same way that some plants and vegetables that we find in the grocery store are actually grown indoors in a controlled environment. And they have to pass some pretty extreme standards in order to be used. And then, of course, it's treated like a food grade product, essentially the same way as an animal protein.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, when a lot of people see that and they just think crickets and they think bugs, but it really isn't. It is something that is highly scientific, if you will.
Yes. And I think the challenge, too, is, you know, most farms, cattle farms like beef cattle,
yeah.
they've been around and in families for centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or, you know, at least a couple, 100 years or 200 years. Most farms that I know personally, because of the, you know, having horses and buying hay from a farmer or whatever, they're fifth generation farmers.
Yeah.
So they're not having to go out and buy the property. You know, I mean, if you look at all of the statistics about raising beef versus raising crickets, it makes a whole lot more sense to raise crickets. However, it's a very expensive right now to buy
yeah.
cricket protein.
Yeah, that is exactly what is kind of frustrating, because on the one hand, crickets, well, just bug protein in general, you know, humans, not necessarily the American culture, but humans are eating bugs and have been for a long, long time. And the issue is, when you bring it into our culture here, it has to be treated with a much higher standard, the food quality. And so the startup costs for doing
yes.
this is way high. And so I think that is the difficult hurdle right now.
Yes.
As we see it more and more, and the more we support this kind of stuff, the more affordable it will become, and the more sustainable it will be, and just more beneficial in general for the environment and just all across the board. Of course, you probably know all this already, and I'm kind of...
But it's great for your listeners.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of hoping that people will recognize a little bit. So yeah, definitely I hope people will hop on and support this.
Well, and honestly, I don't know if there's a way to extend it, but to jump over to Ruff Bar, one of the things as a pet owner myself are and my daughter, Jamie, she likes to be outdoors, and she's the one that's got Oak Tree Oakley. She does a lot of hiking and backpacking and rock climbing and things like that. And when she's out, because she feeds raw, she's not going to take raw food with her out on the trail. So she'll say, hey, Mom, can you whip me up a batch of rough food? And it started out, that was our joke, because rough bar, then rough food.
Yeah.
But we're making a mix, much like there's a box, dehydrated box mix in the market right now.
Uh-huh.
And it'll say it's human grade and all of that. And it's really nice quality product. The challenge that I have with it is that it's got potatoes and legumes in it.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we could buy that so my daughter would have something easy to pack with her when she goes backpacking. But it's just now as easy for me to just whip her up a batch of freeze-dried of our own mix. And so we're going to try Kickstarter again. And this time we're going to do it. I'm giving you the information ahead of time. Rough food. And the rough food will be a combination freeze-dried and dehydrated mix, because we are putting in ingredients very much like Ruff Bar and like the Eco Bar, the Kairos Eco Bar. We're using kale and broccoli and green beans and pumpkin seed, flax seed, chia seeds, carrots. And then we have a little bit of fruit. We have, so this is different than the energy bar made with a higher date content. We do have some dates in there, but we also have some coconut flake, you know, not sweetened, of course, the unsweetened kind, and possibly even some freeze-dried apples, just, and blueberries. We have some wild blueberries too, because they have great vitamins in them when they are freeze-dried.
Yeah.
So it retains that value.
So this is like the top secret lowdown information right here.
Yes. Well, so the rough food, we're actually making the labels right now, and we're going to have beef, chicken, turkey, and cricket, and possibly salmon.
Okay.
As rough food options in the 3-ounce package, individual serving, or a 1-pound serving.
Okay.
But our Kickstarter is so that we can get pre-printed packaging, pre-printed for a small company like ours. I mean, people have made comments. We appear like we're a large company, and I think it's really great that people see that value of the ambassadors and Karen, who does an amazing job on our website and our marketing collateral. We are still a very small company.
And Karen is your business partner?
Yes.
Okay.
Hink and Hinkle.
Okay. Yeah, I will absolutely say when I first came across, I never would have known that you guys were a small business. The packaging design has always been, in my opinion, has been terrific.
Yeah, Karen's skilled.
Yeah, just goes to show what some really good design work can do for you.
Yes, definitely.
And you guys have also gone through a little bit of, I guess, some like new packaging, and I know. Especially with the ambassadors, I'm digging the photos now on the new Ruff bars. That's pretty cool.
Well, you know, there was recently I came across a product. I won't say the name. Makes a really good human bar, and I like to be keto a lot of times.
Okay.
And it's hard to find keto bars out there for humans. There's a few out there, but anyway, I came across this, and the owner's picture is on the packaging. And I'm like, well, you know, it's really nice, except that for me, I want to acknowledge our team. I mean, we have an amazing team. And, you know, even when we were out of stock, they were still posting about us, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that just shows dedication, and it's not just because we send them bars, because we don't pay our ambassadors. They're paid with product. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, it's to honor our ambassador team.
That's really cool. And I highly appreciate that. And yeah, there are some beautiful photos on there too. So that helped quite a bit. You've got some ambassadors with some beautiful photos.
Oh, yes, yes. And now they're all scrambling to make sure. We've used Google Drive to store information and photos and things
keep
like
you
that.
Stocked so up with more photos.
Oh my gosh, there's like a barrage of photos in there now.
We mentioned the rough food. Is there a release date for that? Do you know when that's going to be coming out?
Well, so here's our timeline. We have labels being printed.
Yeah.
That'll get next week. We need to get the results back for the guaranteed analysis.
Okay.
And then I've been sending samples with really tacky labels that I made at home to our ambassadors, and so we're going to send the new ones out. So, you know, if I had had my act together, we would have done this a few months ago, so that people could have it for the summer. I'm really hoping that we can have a limited supply, you know, at least a small amount that we can,
yeah,
open up to the public, you know, in August.
Okay,
but that's really cramming it in there.
Well, that kind of brings up a really good question when we were talking about the Cricket Bar. From the moment of concept to actual production and getting that onto the shelf, and I know that those haven't hit the shelf yet, but how long is that timeline? I mean, that's pretty extensive, I would expect.
Well, it is. We have found ways to do packaging without having to pay for the pre-printed packaging, but the labor costs and labeling packaging.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite look as professional as pre-printed packaging would look like. It's 4 to 6 weeks to get packaging back.
Okay.
If you're buying from a local, like in the U.S., and that's after the designs have been approved.
Okay.
And that can be, you know, depending on how busy they are, 2 to 6 weeks right there. So it's months just to get packaging, to be licensed with the Department of Agriculture. We have to do that for our state and then and a whole list of other states. Mm-hmm. So that's, and each one, you know, has a fee and has the time of year that they do registrations. And, you know, it can take months to pull off a new product.
Yeah. Well, I've got my fingers crossed. I'm looking forward to seeing these and getting a hold of some of these. Definitely. I'm excited about them. So, yeah.
Well, and the other part is that we're a small enough company that going to a co-packer is difficult because they want real large volumes of product run.
Okay.
But we're a large enough company that making them by hand is cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Anymore. So we used to make several thousand bars a month. I think the most that I made by hand in 1 month was like 4,200 bars.
Okay.
Now we make 4,200 bars in a run.
Oh, wow.
But we have to, yeah. So we have to, and that's one day. But then, you know, it's like there's machine costs involved because you're using a 400-pound mixer. And
yeah.
Anyway, blah, blah, blah. And we were working with a local co-packer here in Seattle that was FDA certified. It was amazing. And he sold his building, retired, and closed his doors.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So he let us use his equipment in March and run some more product. But then he absolutely closed his doors, sold his equipment, too, in April. So we were out of stock, and now we're working with a new co-packer, and that's why we were able to have beef products available right now on the website for Rough Bar. But so the new co-packer, we ran a test batch, but nobody has committed to anything yet. So,
okay. I guess a co-packer is essentially just a third party that they package all sorts of different stuff.
They do. In this case, it's usually some kind of a meat market that is working under a U.S. Department of Agriculture, so USDA certification, or a FDA. So many cases, FDA is like fish, seafood, whereas a USDA is often meat. But they can also be like a company that can do, like if it's a, let's say, commercial kitchen or something, you're USDA, and they can do meat and fish. So it depends on the certification of the facility, but there's not a lot of these kinds of facilities that are open to small companies like ours to run product for.
Sure. Yeah, that's something I didn't really think about in the beginning. I guess I just assumed that all of that packaging kind of happened in-house.
It did when we were a small shop. Mm-hmm. And now it requires, 3,000 square feet of equipment.
Wow.
Walk-in dryers, dryer yep. rooms. Machines that'll extrude 800 pounds at a time.
That is impressive.
Well, and so we were making them with Cuisinarts and, Vitamix. But I knew I couldn't keep up dehydrating the meats that we used in our bars.
Yeah.
So I went in search of a company that I could buy, our biggest ingredients, our proteins directly from.
Right.
And I met this really nice guy in Seattle who owned, a seafood manufacturing. He's now, retired, but I asked him about being able to buy dehydrated. I call it dehydrated. He called it cooked, but it's not cooking. It's at
sure.
160 degrees.
Yeah, it's a little different process.
Yeah, it is. He was a smokehouse, so he would do this kind of product for people, so it was not a problem. So I bought, 1,000 pounds of raw beef from him,
yeah.
dehydrated down into, I remember it was 350 pounds or something, from wet weight to dried weight. We call it the recovery rate. Anyway, so then we also bought salmon from him. And while I was looking at this extruded dried beef and salmon, I thought, wow, why couldn't he just make the whole bar for us? And
yeah.
so I went in and spent some time talking to him. He goes, yeah, I think we could do that. And so I took the other ingredients that we had in our bar, the dates, the chia seeds, the carrots, things like that. And then he mixed it all together and he extruded it. We got back, 300 pounds of dehydrated rough bars, but in a way that we could now just cut and put into packaging.
Okay. So he was originally doing the meats extruded. With
right.
just mm-hmm. without the ingredients, and then you were having to remix and re-extrude it or
yeah,
redo
yeah.
it. Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah. So yes, it was a lot. It was so when people say, man, your bars are expensive, it's because, they were handmade.
Yeah. That's a lot
it's
of
like,
process.
People
wow.
who buy those, cupcakes or whatever,
yeah.
cupcakes for their dogs, and they're all frosted and they spend a lot of money on those.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is healthier and this, will fuel your dog on his outdoor adventures.
Yeah. Yeah, we occasionally make our own treats here at the house. Kind of the same thing. I always am looking for cool recipes and stuff and we make stuff. And it's time consuming. It's not too overly expensive, but yeah, oftentimes go in and we have a dog bakery here in town and I look at some of the stuff and it's expensive. And I think, I'm not really particularly fond of all the stuff that's in some of these, but we do have a pretty good organic bakery as well. So yeah, I can imagine baking and making that much food, the process.
Right.
It turns into
right.
a business. It turns into a business.
Right. Well, and I think the part that I didn't mention earlier was my holistic veterinarian friend.
Yeah.
I was saying to her one day, hey, isn't Tyler doing something with dog treats? Do you think he'd let me put some herbs in it? We could co-brand it. And she said, I don't know. You'll have to talk to him. So I don't remember if I emailed him or called him. He said, hey, can we get together for coffee? So I went and I sat down with him for coffee, and he had moved over here from Idaho. He was making rough bars in Idaho
okay.
for 4 years. And he said, Sue, here's the thing. I think rough bar needs some new energy, and I'm wondering if you'd like to buy the company from me.
Tyler was the original owner of Rough Bar.
Yes, he was the
okay.
original founder. Tyler Duncan, super great guy, outdoor enthusiast.
Yeah.
I think he was living outside of Sun Valley, has dogs, you know, is a hiker, biker, rock climber. And he now makes raw dog food and cat food called Wild Coast Raw.
And so when you got it from him, how big of a company was it at that point in time?
Hey, Rue.
Well, let's see. I think he said that he sold about $10,000 worth.
Okay.
In 1 year, in the 2017.
Which, for listeners that aren't aware, that's not very big. That's
No, it was not. He had 157 followers. I think the one great thing that Tyler did do is he had it as a product in Mud Bay. In our area, Mud Bay is a natural pet food store.
Okay.
And it's a chain store, and they have 54 stores.
Okay.
I'm not sure where you're located.
I'm in Memphis, and I've actually, we have a really great pet food store that's actually been around for, gosh, almost 40 years. And they carry a whole lot of holistic stuff, and they're starting to get more into like some freeze-dried raw. And I've actually suggested to them to pick up Ruff Bar. It's one of the things I'll have to, I know that on the website, there's kind of like a comment section to say, hey, are you interested in getting it in your area? And so, yeah, I'll have to give you some info on that and see if maybe they'll pick it up.
Terrific.
Yeah. You know, I think really one thing I didn't ask about kind of getting into the Cricket Bar is just what originally inspired you to create the Eco Bar?
Oh, you know, I love the ideas of natural pet treats and things like that. And I had already had Ruff Bar, and I was doing these Kairos herb treats, and I was thinking about how to do a treat like a bar. And I was taking some classes at Evergreen State College, and they have a liberal arts college.
Okay.
But they have some pretty unique classes. Like there's one called Student Originated Studies, Food and Agriculture. And they were starting a cricket farm on campus, and they were doing it for a couple of different class projects. One was to study how the protein is different in cricket protein if they're fed a better diet.
Yeah.
So that was one, but it was also, you know, they have another program called Startups and Entrepreneurship. So I think I was really inspired by how innovative so many fellow students were, that I started looking at cricket protein, and I started thinking, you know, long-term sustainability, someone's going to tell us we can't use salmon anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because it's taken it away from our whales. And then somebody's going to say, you know, we really need to cut back on beef, and we need to cut back on, you know, like farming, and how can we do things more sustainably? And I thought cricket protein sounded like the answer. And I love being able to make sure that we are choosing the smallest plastic packaging, like the ones that you were talking about earlier that you have.
Yeah.
You know, those were pretty large, and I wasn't happy with how big they were. There's a whole story behind that. But so for me, you know, reducing our footprint by having, you know, as soon as biodegradable packaging is available that we could have a shelf stable product in, then we'll go for that. And, you know, that, I mean, I think if you really look into cricket protein and what it can do as far as the nutritional value, it's more, you have more protein out of the same volume of cricket protein than you do out of an equal amount of beef protein.
Yeah.
So you can pack more punch into a smaller package.
Yeah, it is a much denser. And then especially when you start comparing just, I guess, the resources required for producing the same amount of proteins over time, it's crazy. It's
right.
A huge difference.
Right. And so, you know, if I were to like talk about making cricket Ruff Bars, because we're using large machines now,
mm-hmm.
we would have to make a lot more. And then you know, could we sell that many to make it worthwhile? Whereas with the rough food, the way I'm making the rough food, I could make rough food with cricket,
yeah,
and not have to have the large amount of volume required at a co-packer.
Okay. So you've got the Kickstarter going, and that started, I actually think that I'm talking to you on the 17th. I think that actually ends tomorrow, but I don't know if it's gotten the full support. Are you looking at extending that?
I don't know if you can. I haven't tried, but I have to, you know, get on the computer and see.
Yeah, I've never actually done one myself, and I'll be totally honest, I don't know how that quite operates, but I'm curious to see. And of course, I hope that is successful and that can be done.
And if it's not, you'll know by the time you're doing this. But if it's possible to extend it another 10 days, I will.
Yeah.
But if it's not, because I know they say it's best if you choose 30 days or less. And we opted for 20 because I don't remember why. Honestly, it was Karen and I. We were like, it was a timing thing. Oh, I know why. Because she's going on vacation and we wanted to have it completed before she left.
Yeah.
That was the big reason we chose 20 days instead. But we also looked at the other cricket Kickstarters and saw that they were, I think most all of them have been funded. So
yeah. And are those cricket Kickstarters for dogs as well or for humans?
No, for humans.
Okay.
For humans. The other thing, though, is that it's an all or nothing with those.
Yeah.
So the funding we would have used this for would be the pre-printed packaging.
Okay.
And also for having a larger volume with the co-packer.
Well, I'm hoping that if you're successful, if you can either do a new Kickstarter that, of course, this episode will release pretty soon. So I'm hoping maybe that will have some effect. I can get some people to hop on that. That would be really cool.
That would be. And we are for sure going to do a rough food one, though.
Come on, you guys. I really want some of these cricket bars. I want to get these out there. I want to try these. So, yeah, definitely. I will help push it.
We can make them in a small quantity. I just...
Okay.
You know, it was like, okay, well, it didn't work. We always say, when I say we, Karen and I always say, what's the gift in this for us? Meaning, okay, it didn't fund. Well, as of right now, it's not looking like it would be funded.
Yeah.
What's the gift in this for us? What do we need? What's a takeaway? You know, we had lots of people say their dogs love them, but, you know, there are some dogs that'll just eat anything no matter what. and then there were people who said, you know, their dogs didn't like them.
Okay.
So, you know, it's in like, okay, so maybe the eco bar is not the way to go. And maybe the, you know, the rough food is a better option or the Kairos toppers or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. And I guess at that point, it kind of goes back to the drawing board and just gets reworked a little bit.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because if it had funded and we moved forward with a bar that not a lot of people like, then what? Right. So that's a possible gift.
Sure. I can see that. Okay. Well, I won't get too much more into it. I'm going to go ahead and kind of move on to, of course, the big question that I ask everybody. And if you could go anywhere and do anything, I'm going to take away your responsibilities. You don't have to worry about packaging.
Orders
you don't
getting have filled.
Exactly. We're going to take care of all that. Rue and I will make it happen for you. And we're going to give you a ticket to go anywhere and do anything. Where would that be?
Well, I would have some kind of a Sprinter van, and I would go to the national parks, Zion, Arches, all of those in that area, and I would just spend month.
The big five.
Oh, yeah.
The big five. Yeah, you got Arches, Zion, Capitol Reef, Bryce Canyon, and Canyonland.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's easy. We can take care of that. No problem.
All right. Great.
In fact,
I think it's the orders. Saying it by the orders, that would be. Got to keep the
that might be a little more difficult. But when you're ready to go hit up Southern Utah, let me know. We'll meet you there, and we'll do the whole tour with you.
Wouldn't it be fun though to have the skin on this Sprinter van with the Kairos for Dogs and Rough Bar?
Yeah, that's what you need to do, is just get a vehicle wrap and then load it up with product and just go on the road. Kind of like an ice cream truck, but like a Rough Bar truck and Kairos truck for dogs, and have a little bell on top. Ding, ding, ding. We would definitely come running. Absolutely. But yeah, Southern Utah. That is one of my favorite places. And I've said it before on the podcast, but I'll say it again. When I die and go to heaven, it's going to be in Southern Utah.
That's great. Very good.
Any shout outs you want to give either to, of course, people you know in real life or people on Instagram?
Well, so Karen Deegan Hinkle, my business partner, I could definitely not be where we are right now without her as a partner. And then we have two amazing ambassador teams, and there's a little bit of an overlap between them.
Okay.
Some of them are on both teams, but I would like to give a big thanks to Julie with Tucker Leo de Huskies, and also with Molly. She's our social media manager for Kairos for Dogs and Voyage at Voyage Wilder.
Okay.
Without Julie and Molly, I couldn't get done what I need to get done, and they're engaging, and they, you know, but we have 27 ambassadors for Rough Bar.
Yeah.
And I think 18 for Kairos for Dogs.
Okay.
And that's a lot of people to keep track of. I know almost all of their first names and their dogs' names. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And Ashley with 5280 Colorado Dog, she and Julie have been ambassadors for Rough Bar since we had our very first Rough Bar team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ambassador team. So they're so much fun to have. And I think that even if I no longer had ambassadors, they would still be promoting Rough Bars because they love Rough Bars. My husband's never going to be on social media, and he may not ever listen to this podcast, but without my husband, Mike, you know, I mean, this has been a roller coaster ride for the last year and a half, and he has been my huge supporter. And I have a couple of friends who will come over and help me package bars or package bars into boxes or label or all kinds of things. And I want to thank Allison and Merle for their help. And I'm just so appreciative of everyone who has purchased bars because they want the best for their dogs, and everyone who has supported me in this journey. And thank you, Tyler, for trusting me with your baby.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I will, of course, all of these people I will include in the show notes on the blog. So if you didn't catch any of those while listening to it,
I forgot
it'll
one
all
other
be
person.
There. Yeah.
My daughter Jamie.
Okay.
Is Jamie Shank at Jamie Shank, and her dog Oak Tree Oakley. Jamie actually helps Julie and I all the time with the Rough Bar social media.
Okay.
And so, you know, she's behind the scenes, but she does engagement with followers and things like that. That it's, you know, that all just takes so much time, and it's great to have a team.
Yeah, I know that. Not just from, I can only imagine how much effort I put in just for this podcast, but running a business and making it successful and really getting stuff off the ground like that, that requires a lot of work, and it requires a village and a community. So
it does. That's what we try to say our ambassador team is. It's a community.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. And I see it more and more. And the more I do this podcast, the more I realize how tight-knit the dog community really is. And it's amazing to see. It's terrific.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, Sue, I greatly appreciate it, and I just want to say thank you for taking time, of course, out of your busy schedule to talk to me about all of this and some really, really, really cool details about kind of what you've got going on and what's coming up. So, yeah, I kind of feel like I've got the lowdown here, like the really secret stuff. So,
well, thank you so much, Nathan. I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Absolutely. It has been really cool. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To clarify what we talked about in the conversation about FDA regulation with crickets for human consumption, it's pretty simple. And this is reading from the FDA does allow crickets to be used for and in food under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. As long as crickets are produced, packaged, stored, and shipped in a clean and wholesome way, the FDA allows production and sale. Cricket flour is not GRAS certified by the FDA, and GRAS stands for generally recognized as safe. Really, it's not that it's unsafe, it's just that the FDA has not created regulations and certifications for this industry as of yet. But I've reached out to a couple cricket flour manufacturers, and maybe I'll have some better information on that in the future. I actually just purchased another round of Ruff Bar treats for Rue because they're currently offering samples of the new freeze-dried Ruff food, and I'm looking forward to trying it out this weekend. Hopefully, as you listen to this on a Friday morning, Rue and I are headed out on a weekend adventure to go camping and trail running at a pretty unique place. And I hope I'm not the only one that's like this, but I'm drawn to locations that have, shall we say, a colorful history, be it like rumors of long-lost buried treasure or ghost lights or, in this case, UFOs. I watched a few too many Scooby-Doo episodes, not just as a kid, but like last month. This time we're off to Devil's Den State Park, just west of Ozark National Forest, to run the Butterfield Trail. So consider this the macro version of telling someone where we'll be. We're looking forward to a nice long trail run along some pretty rugged terrain and hopefully no alien abductions. But if for some reason that next week's episode doesn't come out on time, it's because we've been whisked away to the Pleiades. You can subscribe to the show to find out what happens next Friday. While you're subscribing, take a second to leave us a rating and review. You can email us at nathan@adventuredogpodcast or find us on Instagram @adventuredogpodcast, where I'm sure we'll be posting a few photos from the weekend over the next few days. And we would love to hear some comments about the stranger places you've taken your pups. As always, thanks for listening. Now, go and have an adventure with your doggos.